Text 70. Nadine Gordimer. Back home.
Julie Summers. In the human press of the airport, in the eyes of the man made out with difficulty in his cave of a shop, in the faces turned in curiosity to study her, close by in the bus, it came to her that she was somehow as strange to herself as she was to them. She was what they saw. That girl, that woman had lived all her life in the eyes of black people, where she comes from, but never had had from them this kind of consciousness of self. So that was what home was. She was aware of this with an intrigued detachment. And it meant that when she went forward to his family in this state with him, the son who belonged to them, she could do so offering herself in an emotional knowledge. If she was strangely new to them, she was also strangely new to herself. There they were, at the bus terminus, men of the family. They could not have known the exact time of arrival, but they were there. The photographs that might have been, he wasn't sure, among the things he had kept at the garage and that she had never been shown, here they were brought to life. The formal group of men made them recognisable, distinguished from the anonymity of the distracting crowd. Apart, they belonged to him, Abdu Ibrahim. The wave of their joyousness broke over the couple. The elderly men among them, thick, creased faces, but no uncertainty about which was the father, there was a moment of stillness in that face, the moment of unbelief at a longed-for materialisation offering itself in the flesh, that made the man unmistakable, despite no physical resemblance between father and son. The embraces were long. The rush and chatter of people in the terminus, an accompanying chorus. She was caught up in the emotion of these men, did not know if she was part of them or of the chorus. It was as if she had lost sight of Ibrahim. He was presenting her to his father. The man made a speech of welcome, drawn back from the two of them. She felt his attention, he was addressing her, and she opened herself to it, while the son, her husband, gave nervous pressures of some sort of impatience or disapproval on her arm as he translated. "Speak English. Speak English." The interruption was not heeded. "He can speak a little, at least to greet you." She jerked her arm against the restraining hand in dismissal. The hoarse flow and guttural hum of the language reached her on a wavelength of meaning other than verbal. The second elderly man, arms stoutly crossed in confidence over his chest, smiling down upon the ceremonial from some vantage of his own, was introduced to her. The uncle. The names of the others could not all at once match the individual brothers she knew of, and there were cousins to be confused with them as well. Some wore casual Western clothes, others were in the traditional long white tunics that, for her, gave them undefined stature. The whole party made the path of their event out of the terminus and to four cars in which, arguing theatrically about who should go where, they found room for themselves. She sat at the passenger door, sharing the front seat with her husband, who was close up beside the uncle in his, the best car. The others accompanied them in a horn-blowing procession to their destination. The place, the street, the house where Ibrahim ibn Musa came from, to the garage round the block from the L.A. Cafe. In a street, people were outside a house, smiling and stirring when the procession drew up blaring. The uncle's car in the lead, the other road-worn ones coming to a stop with shudders and jerks of their battered chassis. More neighbouring male relatives to be introduced, and among them the children of the house. The children stared at the woman Ibrahim brought, giggled, ran away when she laughed and held her arms wide to receive them. The house, its face, facade, she could be aware of only peripherally, behind the excited assembly, the carrying of the elegant suitcase, canvas bag and bundles snatched by various hands taking charge. A flat concrete roof with some clutter of living visible up there, women were peering down from behind its wall, eyes eager and smiling. She passed an empty pedestal flower urn, painted blue, a burglar grill ajar at the door. Struck from the sunlight outside, centred in blinding dimness, was the still darker shape of a solid figure seated on a sofa. The presence of this house. She was produced before his mother by her husband. The welcome was formal. As her eyes grew accustomed to the change from the sun's intensity, the hushed room emerged, other women there. The presence, this woman with a beautiful face, she knew it was his mother he would look like, asserted beneath a palimpsest of dark fatigue and grooves of unimaginable experience, addressed her majestically, at length, and in their language. But her gaze was on her son, and tears ran, ignored by her, down the calm of her cheeks. He translated abruptly, probably omitting elaboration. And then his mother engulfed him, the flight of sisters set upon him, upon the woman he had brought as his wife. And at once her impression of his parents' house, his home, into which she had now truly been received, was broken up by activities that spilled through doorways where people pushed past one another, balancing dishes of food wreathed in steam and sharp sweet scents. The women were a swirl of their enveloping garments, polyester chiffon and braid, bobbing and dodging. The men were conducting, giving orders. People sat round small tables on the carpet and cushions and ate, the way Ibrahim had given up, in the company of the table, agilely with their fingers. One of the sisters shyly spoke English when urged by the women, in their own language, to come up to Ibrahim's bride. There was a phrasebook exchange so that the foreign newcomer to the family might not feel left out. The men were confidently animated among themselves, round the returned son, the women preoccupied with the replenishment of food, chattering softly as they moved swiftly about. How was the journey? The journey was fine, but you know it is very far where Ibrahim and I came from. We know. He sent us a letter. Some day it came. I hope you will like it here. It is a village only. I hope you will show me your village. Ibrahim will show. The two young women looked at one another in deep incomprehensibility, each unable to imagine the life of the other, smiling. It was perhaps right then that she made the decision. I have to learn the language. One of the doors led from the party directly into the room that obviously had been vacated for Ibrahim and his chosen wife. The elegant suitcase and the canvas bag stood as they had way back in her cottage. He closed the door on the company clearing up the feast in the communal room. There was the huge old high bed with its carved head and footboards, an array of coloured covers under a crocheted white spread. She was admiring. How splendid. Ibrahim, what a bed! He saw it. It is his mother's and father's bed. The only splendour of their marriage, the absurd pretension of the start of driven poverty, the retreat into which each has collapsed, exhausted every night for all their years. It is the bed in which each will die. It's the bed in which he was conceived. Julie began to unpack gifts they had brought. No, not now. Tomorrow we'll give them. It's enough for today. He tugged back the lace curtains at the window. Tomorrow. He would insist that his parents move back into this room. He and she must find somewhere else to sleep. A little later, she went over to him. What I need now is a long, hot bath. Where's the bathroom? There was no bathroom. Had she thought of that when she decided to come with him? This place is buried in desert. Water's like gold is in her country. It's got to be brought up from deep, far down, pumped to this village, what there is of it. Had she any idea of what a burden she would be? So there it is. Madness. Madness to think she could stick it out here. He was angry. With this house, this village, these his people, to have to tell her other unacceptable things, tell her once and for all what her ignorant obstinacy of coming with him to this place means, when she failed with all her privilege at getting him accepted in hers. Tomorrow. The other days ahead. And it was as he knew it was going to be. She wants to see everything. They haven't been in his parents' house more than 2 days when she says, if he doesn't feel like coming along, if there are people he needs to consult, things he needs to do, she's quite happy to explore the village, hop on a bus and see the capital on her own. Of course, independent. This is the way she's accustomed to living, pleasing herself, again. But that's impossible here. He has to be with her. Some member of the family, if there could be one who could be understood, has to accompany her everywhere beyond a few neighbourhood streets. That's how it is in the place he thought he had left behind him. It's not usual for women to sit down to eat with the men. Today was a special exception for the occasion. Does she understand? It's enough for these people that she goes about with an uncovered head. That they can tolerate with a white face, maybe. He has sharply resisted his mother's taking him aside to insist that his wife put a scarf over her head when leaving the house or in the company of men who are not family. Resisted with pain, because this is his mother whom he wanted to bring away to a better life. And she, the one he has brought back with him, all that he has brought back with him, is the cause of this pain.